before you see, I'm going to pray real fast. Lord, I thank you for this word. I really believe I'm on a mission today. I believe the mission today is that people would believe again. I believe the mission today, Father God, is just that people would believe. That's what we're aiming for today. That is our goal today. And Lord, I can't get anyone to believe, but your Holy Spirit can. So I just pray, Father God, for any unfulfilled promises, any upsetness, any frustration. I pray, Father God, today would be the day that they would believe again. And we declare it in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before you take a seat, find someone and give them the name of this message. It's called Catch Me Outside. Come on, find someone and say, Catch Me Outside. Catch Me Outside. Hey, now look to your second choice and say, how about that? How about that? Cash me. Some of you say, catch me. I didn't say catch me. I said, cash me outside. Everyone say, cash me outside. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and that's perfectly fine. You don't need to know. I just wanted to call you that. Hey, before we go any further, I want to honor Tristan Fraser, who is here. He is now back from boot camp. We want to honor you. Congratulations, man. Thank you for serving. Signing on that dotted line is more brave and courage than I ever have speaking up here. So thank you for serving our country. We love you so much. So welcome back. Nice haircut. Nice haircut. Sometimes we need an outsider's perspective. Sometimes we need someone from the outside to come in to our life or into our season of life and kind of give us some pointers. Sometimes not just pointers, but sometimes we need an outsider's perspective to come in and just remind us that we're doing better than what we think we're doing. I don't know if you noticed this, but sometimes when you get caught in the mundane of doing the same thing over and over, we get in this point where we feel like we're just not cutting it. We're not doing good. We're failing. It's not working. We do the same thing over and over, so it gets monotonous, and we just feel like really there's nothing happening in our life. This week, as we brought Chris in, this was his first week in the office, and we just did meetings as usual. So Tuesday, we came in because we take Monday off because I'm a zombie on Monday because I try to leave everything out here on the stage. And so Tuesday morning we come in and we have a meeting, and in Tuesday's meeting this is what it pertains. We do a devotion. One of our staff bring a devotion that encourage us, and we pray together, and then we talk about Sunday, and we spend about 10 to 15 minutes talking about Sunday and tweaking some things that we can do better for the next week. We talk about wins, like, you know, that 19 salvations happen, which is amazing. And so we talk about those things, and as we do that, then we look to the week coming up, and we say, hey, here's where we're heading. This is what we've already planned. What can we do to make this the best experience so people can experience Christ? And before we leave, we have delegation, and we say, let's make sure these things are, you know, tweaked and done right. And so many times I'm in those meetings, I'm like, man, this is boring. Man, like, are we really doing anything? Like, should I do something different? Because I like to change all the time. Like, is this, I just don't know. And after that meeting, we went into the office, and I was hanging out with Chris since it was his first day, and we're going through, like, paperwork and talking. And he said these words. He said, man, I loved our meeting this morning. And I was like, what? He goes, I loved it. He goes, I love being in the place where you guys are so focused on where we're heading. You're so planned out. You're debriefing, and you're getting better for, you know, the glory of God. And he goes, I just loved it. There was so much structure. I know where we're heading. There was vision casting. And I was just like, yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it? I love it. We do it every Tuesday morning. We'll see you next week, right? Like, but sometimes we need an outsider's perspective. Can I tell you something? You may be coming here for a while now and you're getting comfortable, but from an outsider's perspective, why don't you get on Facebook and check out the reviews of people who come here for the first time? Yeah. From an outsider's perspective, people come in and they said, I don't know what's going on. I haven't cried in 10 years. And from the first 5 minutes, my eyes are leaking everywhere. The people at the doors are greeting me. People are smiling. And here's the best part. It seems genuine. Like, you guys actually care that we're here. Sometimes what happens, the longer you're here and you do life with your roommates, we get frustrated. And we're like, is this really where I need to be? Maybe I'm stale in my faith. And if you're not careful, you begin to believe that lie. And I just want to say that sometimes God is like an outsider's perspective. He says, let me change your perspective. Our church, we need to change our perspective, because honestly, guys, when you talk about, and I know we've talked about this, but when 19 people, you're like, you keep bringing that up, we celebrate. Because we believe that miracles still happen, but the greatest miracle is when someone goes from death to life. Amen. And 19 of them happened last week in your church, our church. Don't get comfortable because someone else comes in and says, there's something special happening here. Can I tell you something? There's something special happening here. And in this story, Abram was in a moment in his life where he was kind of frustrated. He was kind of upset. And if we're not careful, we live in this tent of our own and we look around and we let our situations dictate what's actually happening in our life. And he was upset with God. And this is why he was upset, I understand. Because God promised him something 15 years ago that hasn't come up yet. And he left by faith. And he promised him that, but he was upset because God came in and says, sometime later in scripture, he came up to him and said, don't worry, Abraham, don't be afraid. I will protect you and your reward will be great. And it was finally at that moment where Abraham said, I can't take it anymore. I just got to let you know, God, what good are all your blessings if I don't even have a son? Have you ever at Christmas time or in your life gotten everything from your parents but the one thing you wanted, maybe quality time with them, you never got? It's like, Dad, Mom, I don't want all your gifts. I just want some of your time. Have you ever felt like you've been given everything but not that one thing? And Abram was frustrated. He's like, listen, you've given me so much, God, and I get it. Do it again. We're going to move the mountains and we sing it. But if I was honest, I came to church Sunday full of faith, and I've heard this before. Preacher, I've been at a church before. They try to inspire me, encourage me, and you have this mindset. You're frustrated. I've heard it before, preacher. I've heard the songs before. Yeah, he's going to do it again, but if I'm looking at my situation, he hasn't done it. And you're frustrated. But Abram said, what good is it? I'm grateful that scriptures show us the flaws of characters too. Because in this story, Abram was frustrated. And God answered in such an awesome way. I love God in this picture. We're going to pull it up one more time. Genesis 15, starting in verse 4, he said, then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own. Verse 5 says this, then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky, count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you'll have. Which means that Abram was in a tent complaining about his situation. He was saying, God, look at my situation, like God doesn't already know his situation. And he says, you need to get out of here. And so I just believe today my mission and my focus today was that for whoever's frustrated, for anyone who feels like unfulfilled promises, that you literally come in with a chip on your shoulder, like we've sang it before, we've done it before, I haven't seen anything before. I just believe today is going to be the day where God takes you outside and he says, look up at the stars. I'm going to get you to believe one more time that what I said is true. And so my goal today is that I would take you outside. So come on, church, let's go outside and let's look at the stars. Let's go outside and let's see what God wants to speak in the stars, because it said in this moment, don't worry, those aren't real crickets, don't lift up your legs. In this moment, it said that Abram came outside, he looked up, and look at what it says in verse 6, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Just from stepping outside. What was going on in Abraham? He says, count the stars if you can. I love God. Count them if you can. Because I created these things. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So before we move on, I want to read one more scripture. It says this in Genesis 1, 14 through 16. It says, then God said, this is in the beginning of creation, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. The sun is a star. Then it says this, he also made the stars. How? It said that in here, he spoke it. He spoke, let these lights in the sky shine down. He spoke a word, and that was created. Galaxies we haven't even seen yet. Stars we haven't even discovered yet. And they're out there. And I believe that in this moment, Abram went outside, and he looked up at the stars. And at that moment, he made this decision. He said, listen, just the same word that gave me the promise was the same word that put those stars in the sky. And I want to talk about that today. How can we believe again? We need to look at the words of God. We have got to look at the word. The stars were a sign of God's word, spoken and then created. And so if we want to believe again, I'm going to take you outside and look at the stars. And the first thing I want to talk about this is God's word creates something from nothing. Creates something out of nothing. You see, Abram walked out. And when he walked out, he looked at the stars. And if you know how Genesis works, it was a void. There was nothing going on. And he stepped outside. And as he looked up at that moment, I don't know about you, but in that moment when I was reading scripture, I believed one thing, that God spoke and there was nothing. But when he spoke, he created something. And some of you have some nothing situations you're going through right now. You know, God gave you a promise, and you said, Sean, and we've preached this before, like, you know, God feeds the 5,000. Just give him something, he can multiply it. He does. But before he multiplies something, did you know he can actually multiply nothing? Because, Sean, zero times whatever is zero. Tell God that. Because he spoke into nothing, and something came out of that nothing. Some of you here are feeling defeated today because you're looking at your situation, and it looks like nothing is happening. And as we look at Abram's story, I got to build some foundation. As we look at Abram's story into the New Testament in Romans, this is what it said. It actually talks about the moment that Abraham believed. It said what was going on in his heart, that Abram actually believed, because that where it said that he had faith, it is used four times in the New Testament, and here's one of them. Romans 4 says this, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, listen, who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Do you believe that God can still create a new thing out of nothing? Because when we get to that point, I'm telling you, as a church, this is when our logical mind has to take a back seat. Because this is when we're coming to a God who created everything we see. I mean, come on, guys, this is crazy. I look at my fingernails and am blown away by God's creation. They never stop growing. It's kind of frustrating sometimes for us guys, but they never stop. Like 1 week later, I got to cut them. And for all eternity, they grow. You're like, what is going on? There's so many intricate things that he did. I know I'm not trying to get way out there. I'm going to bring it back in. But Abram, at that moment, he was in his tent. He came out. He looked up. He saw the stars. And at that moment, he said, the same breath that breathed the stars is the same breath that breathed the promise. If he created something out of nothing, he can create something out of my wife's barren womb. Remember, his wife at that time was barren, had nothing going on. I'm going to actually bring down the crickets. I told them, I was like, I wonder how long, I was going to try preaching the whole time. Too distracting for me. You guys keep doing your thing. Thank you guys so much. But you can leave the stars up. At this moment, I reminded myself of Psalm 33:6 that says this, the Lord, they don't have it, but I just felt it in my heart this morning. The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He breathed a word, and all of them were born. And see, if we're not careful, we come in here, and we bring God into our tent. Abram's like, come look at my situation. Come in here. Come in here, look at this. Just look at it. Would you look at it? And he's looking at it. Look it up on YouTube. Look at it. And so he brings God into his situation, but the whole time, God was trying to bring him out into his situation. And if you want to believe, you have got to stop trying to get God into your box, and you got to break your box and let him bring you out into what he wants to do in your life, because those labels that have been given to you, those were not created by God. You're just always going to be like this. And you begin to build a tent that you live in, and you say, God, just come look at my situation. My wife is barren. I'm 100 years old. And it said, Abram, come out here. Look at my tent. It says that the earth is a tent and that the stars are holes poked in the canvas. God's tent is much bigger. He's doing something greater. And if we're not careful, we spend so much time in church life, in our walk with Christ, even while we pray. I'm not saying that there's a right and wrong way to pray, but we bring God into our situation and he listens and he hears us and he looks at it and he says, now can I bring you out into mine? Can I show you something bigger? I just believe that God is going to ask our church today that he wants to bring you out to something bigger. Those things you're frustrated about and you're upset about, yeah, they're true. But he wants to show you something today so you can believe again. So you can believe again. You see, when we see God's word, it means that he can create something from nothing. That the same breath that made the stars is the same breath that made that promise. Same breath. Which means if he created the stars out of nothing, he can create whatever he promised you out of nothing too. Some of you have false hope because the thing he promised you, you just thought he promised you that, but it doesn't line up with his word. Like, that's not even, like, you're like, where's my promise at? It's like, I never promised you that. But there are things that you're frustrated about because you haven't seen yet that maybe you've been coming. And I just want to encourage you that God's going to pull you outside today. And you're going to look up and you're going to say, my situation looks like nothing, but we serve a God who can create something from nothing. And not just that, not only does his word do that, his word also finishes what it started. It finishes what it started. I'm a documentary buff. I love documentaries, too much so to where my wife just pray for us. So she's like, oh, another one? You know, like, I watch everything, things that, because I watch this one called The Cosmos, and I'm not sitting here and saying that I believe everything they say, but I love to look at science, because one thing I know about science is this, that the more I look into science, it proves the existence of God. It really does. Like, when you are in God's word and you begin to hear what people say about it, you're just like, oh, man, do they know? Do they know? Because it just continues to blow my mind what they're discovering. And every time they discover something, it just literally lines up with God's word. And so I love watching this. And there was this episode in The Cosmos talking about a sky full of ghosts. And what they were talking about were stars. Now, I'm going to get really, like, scientific with you because I'm a geek when it comes to these things, but go with me. It's going to be fun. So this is crazy about stars. I tell Liz this stuff. We'll be outside and I'll just have random trivia. You hang out with me enough, I'm going to give you some random fact that you don't care about, but you better act like you care about, okay? And so she looks at me and I'm like, babe, look at the stars. And so I watched this episode. I was like, I got to explain this to you. The stars, and she's probably, well, I don't know where she went. Oh, hey, she hey, Chris. Got the hair mixed up. Anyway, So I looked at the stars, and they say a sky full of ghosts, and this is crazy. The stars can be 10 light years away, 50 light years away, and so on and so on. I mean, millions, it's just crazy what they say. Now, the cool thing about it is when you look at a star, they're so far away that the star that you're seeing twinkling in the sky actually may be dead, but because it takes so long for our eyes to see it, we still see it as alive. And so literally, you may be looking at a star that was dead. But yet, because it takes so long for us to receive that in our eyes, we still see it as alive. And you're like, that's messed up. Tonight, you're going to go out there, you're going to get popcorn with your kids. You're going to be like, oh my gosh. Like, maybe you're like, this is crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. But I thought about that in this instance because God's word is so powerful. Not only does he create something out of nothing, but it's so vast and it's so big that sometimes the promises, they're there. It just takes a little bit before we can see them. He spoke them. And just because your promise isn't there doesn't mean it hasn't been spoken. Doesn't mean it's not there. Like, this is way too long. I'm telling you, I got to build this because you're going to believe by the end of this. But in Scripture, it said that he finishes what he started. Not only does he talk about the stars, but in Isaiah 55, it says this, the rain and the snow, they come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. We're talking about his word, remember? I send it out and it always, always, always produces fruit. And it will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Those are some pretty bold words. Always, accomplish, finish. Jesus said it on the cross. It is finished. But he said this. He goes, just like the rain comes down and the snow comes down, it waters the earth. Did you know that snow actually waters the earth too? I don't know. Maybe you're in a winter season your own self, that you don't see any vegetation on the ground. But just because there's no vegetation on the ground doesn't mean that the ground is being soaked up. And maybe you're in a season right now where you don't see anything growing out of your life, but maybe the snow's coming down. And it's watering. And you need water for the thing to grow because when spring comes and the sun comes and the heat comes, it's going to start growing. But maybe you're in a season where the word's going out, but you don't see anything yet. But because he says rain and snow come down and water. Do you know why Abram believed? Abram believed not only because the stars were in the sky, but Abram believed because he knows that when God speaks, he finishes what he started. He finishes what he believed that because God said it, then it's going to be done, even if it takes 25 years. How hard would it be to live in faith 15 years after God gave you a promise? That's why I'm thankful that God shows up and reminds us. Because if he didn't remind me of the promise, I would be off. I would be somewhere else. But he shows up in our mess. He shows up in our frustration. He says, look at the stars. And again, we believe one more time. And this is for the people who are done believing. That God would remind you again that you can believe once again. That you can believe that his promise is sure. As the rain and the snow comes down, it accomplishes all I want it to accomplish. So it says this. When the rain comes down, it waters the grain for the grain to grow. So God brings the water, but what we need is the seed and the soil. He says he brings the water. A lot of times, every Sunday, I'm bringing the word and I'm planting seed. But what happens when you stop believing is you shut off your heart for that seed to be planted. And because that seed hasn't been planted, it doesn't matter if water hits it, there's no seed there to grow. And so we always have to remain open, like we've been saying in this series. And it says that the rain and the water and the snow comes out. And it says that it will accomplish what I want it to accomplish, but I need a seed and I need soil. You know what really frustrates me at my house is my girls have a trampoline. That doesn't frustrate me. I love when they jump on that trampoline. It's terrifying sometimes. But if you leave the trampoline in specific, no one told me that when you had a trampoline, you need to move it every once in a while. Unless you want a giant dirt spot in your yard, preferably in the middle of your yard. And so I would set the trampoline out in the middle of summertime and they're jumping. And what happens is even though it rains and the sun comes up, if you don't move that trampoline, that grass underneath of it, it's going to die because there's no water getting into it. There's no sunlight getting to it. And because that's happening, it begins to die. And there's this dead spot in the middle of our yard. Now, granted, I'm not the best person when it comes to keeping my yard immaculate. But at the same time, you can tell when there's like a circle, perfect circle. I blame it on the aliens. It was a crop circle. I don't know where they came from. Right? Like, and I look at it and I realize when I was preparing this message that God wanted me to ask you today, do you have some dead spots in your life? Do you have some? Because Abram had a dead spot in his life. He came to God and said, God, what good are all your blessings? Sovereign Lord, in respect, what good is every, I have money, I have livestock, you just gave me victory over this army, you protected me to save my nephew, you have been so good to me, but what is it even worth if I don't have my son? And he was upset. And do you know what happened in that moment? The thing that was dead in his life, he moved the trampoline. Can I tell you today that maybe the reason why you have dead spots in your life and maybe specific areas, maybe there's areas in your life that are thriving, but in the other areas they're not thriving, it's because you need to uncover them. You have to. The reason why we don't believe is because it says in your word, confess one to another so you can be healed. God's saying, Abram, thank you for telling me what you were covering. I saw it the whole time. And his rain comes out, his word comes out, and he wants to produce a harvest, but rain can't fall on what is covered. God can't bless what is covered. I know it's heavy today, but I really felt this was the sole purpose of my message. Yes, in areas you're growing, and I know there's areas in my life after reading this that I've been covering up. And I've realized in my life that when I open up about my struggles, when I open up about my pride, when I open up about my insecurities, I take the tarp off of the grass, I take the trampoline away from that mark, and God begins to pour rain back on that area, and he begins to grow it back to life. Maybe the reason you're not seeing blessing is because you're hiding it. You're hiding it. This is why God's asked us to do life together. This is why so many people are forgiven, but they're not healed. God's forgiven us, but he says, confess one to another so you can be healed. That's why the enemy wants the church to be shameful. That's why the enemy wants the church to hate everybody who comes in. That's why the enemy wants us to judge everybody so that when they come in and they share their struggle, we laugh at them and say, oh, I've already overcome that. That's a simple thing. And they get shamed back out of the church. And he's saying, listen, They're trying to uncover some areas in their life so I can bring rain to them. Don't throw tarp on them. Don't try hiding that thing. Let them come in and let them uncover. Why? So they can be healed. Abram was frustrated, and he did one of the most courageous things I've seen in Scripture. He told God how he felt. Last night, me and my wife were discussing some things in our marriage, because how many people know that if you're not communicating, you're not going to be thriving, you're not going to be growing. And what happens is we just continue. There's so many people who are married. They're like, yeah, we've been married 25 years, but have you been happily married for 25 years? Now, I'm grateful that you've been married for 25 years. That's something to celebrate. But I want something greater than just being married. I want to be happily married. I want to love my marriage. I want every day to be like butterflies, like when I first saw her at McAllister's drinking some sweet tea. And so what happens is we get so comfortable and we get hurt and we get used to our situation and we need an outsider's perspective. And so last night there were some things that were happening and I was hurt by something and I just talked to her. I said, hey, listen, this is what's going on and I don't know, you probably didn't mean it or whatever, but this is just how I feel right now. You know, we had talk, and we talked about it for 15, 20 minutes, and I realized at that moment, she said these words. She said, from this day on, I'm going to work on that, and I promise I'm going to do it. And I said, no, don't do that, because you won't. Listen, you're like, that's mean. No, listen, you're going to get better at it, but don't make promises you can't keep. I just realized that we're human, and I'm going to hurt her, and she's going to hurt me. But if we can keep uncovering the hurt that's in our life, God can keep watering what's in our life, and we'll continue to grow what's in our life. Sometimes it's not just making a promise, it's talking about our struggles. The most growth Liz and I have ever had in our marriage is actually when we talk about how we've hurt each other. Why? Because when we uncover it, God can water it. And if God can water it, he can grow it. Some of you need to stop and get the trampoline off. You need to uncover some things in your life this year. This is for leaders all the way down to whoever just came in for the first time. This is for the staff who are at our church and everyone else. We all have areas that we are not proud of. And God's saying, I want my word to go out, but I can't water it if it's covered. If you uncover it, I can bless it. Some of you are praying for blessings. He says, you got to uncover it first. You got to find someone. You got to ask them to help you with it. You can't do this by yourself. Uncover it. Abram said, Lord, I'm frustrated. So at that moment, Abram uncovered it. And because he uncovered it, God began to water it. God's always sending the rain. It's just up to us if we want to be covered or not. God can't bless what we choose to cover. I love what it says in Matthew 24:35. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I finish what I start. And if my word went out, then I'm going to accomplish it. But you got to uncover some things in your life. See, this is the hard part about our walk with Christ, but it's the most beneficial part. You gotta cover. In order for me to fix the situation at home with my girls, they gotta tell me what's going on. We can't fix a problem if we don't know one exists. And God's like, well, doesn't God know my problems? Yeah, but you don't. And he'll get us to a point to where we can reveal our problems to ourselves. God, I am prideful. Man, my motives were wrong. Man, I am insecure. Man, I do struggle with these things, but I want to grow in them. And then you uncover yourself for God to begin to water for you. Abram uncovered, and he said, Lord, I'm frustrated. And because he did that, God spoke a promise into his heart he was ready to receive. You're waiting for a word to receive, you have to uncover your heart first. And the last point is this. A word is alive and powerful. So not only can we believe because God's word creates nothing out of something, not only can we believe because if he spoke it, he'll finish it, but we can believe God's word because it's still alive and it's still powerful. I know this is like as basic as it gets, but we have to put this down pat because this is the truth about God's word. It's alive even if you don't see it working. It's working. It's alive even if you don't see the fruit of it. It's alive. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. What is he saying? He's saying it's so sharp That the thing, the soul and the spirit, you can't even see it. What's the difference? The soul is the seat of our emotions, how we feel, how we want to make decisions. And a lot of times we operate with that. Abram was operating by that. He was saying, I'm frustrated. I'm upset. God knows we have that soul, but then we have a spirit man. And when God sends his Holy Spirit to live within us, it says that he empowers that spirit man. And it begins, instead of fulfilling the works of the flesh, meaning instead of acting like we've always acted, God empowers you, and it says in Galatians, to produce fruit of self-control, gentleness, kindness, love. And I always tell people, quit trying to produce fruit. You just need to stay planted in God's spirit. He produces the fruit. You just got to remain in his spirit. And so we have a soul and we have a spirit. And he says, my word is so sharp, Abram, that I know you feel that way. But I'm going to show you what's right and what's wrong. We need this. We need this when we need to make a decision at work. We need this when we're about ready to chew someone out. We need this when we begin to lose faith. It says that his word comes in and it says promises and it's so sharp that even though you have unbelief, he says, I can show you where your unbelief is and I can bring belief back in. There's a scripture where Jesus goes to heal a man's son, and he goes up to him and he says, Jesus, can you heal my son? And he says, yeah, I can heal him if you believe. And this is the words he said, and I love this so much. He said, Lord, I believe you. Please help my unbelief. That's where you are right now. Lord, I believe you. I believe you're still alive. I know I've heard your promise. I believe you're still working. I know it, but please, please help my unbelief. And he says, I can do that as long as you're in my word. My word can divide soul and spirit. It can separate that. It cuts through the invisible. He says this, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I know this isn't the most uplifting message, but I believe in order for us to believe, we have to understand the power of God's word in our life. God's word is at work. It's alive. It's powerful. It's active. Jesus spoke. Lazarus rose from the dead. God spoke. The heavens were created. And God spoke to Liz and I and said, I want you to start a church. And there were times that the promise didn't feel like it was going to be fulfilled. There was times when it didn't look like it was going to come. But I had to remind myself, God's word is alive and it is active. And even though I don't see it, doesn't mean it's not working. But we have to have faith. We have to live by faith and not by sight. And when we don't live by faith and we live by sight, God brings us back out of the tent and he shows us the stars. He reminds us the promise so we can believe again. And that's what's happening right now. He's saying, I'm just taking some time for you to believe in the word one more time. Some of you have promises. Lord, my children aren't in church yet. He gave you a promise. Lord, I haven't seen that job come through yet. He gave you a promise. Lord, I haven't seen what you've asked me to do. He gave you a promise. God's word, it's alive and it is powerful. And I just want to end on this note as we're gonna make a response here in a second. That the word of God is so. The church has made it such a mystery. It's been something that's so like, yes, it is sacred. Yes, it is holy. Yes, it is good. It's alive. But my job as a pastor is to demystify the Bible. Like, it's just like, here's the Bible and here's me. Yes, I'm under its authority, but I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not aware of what's going on. But God sent his word. And this thing right here, it's like, Sean, it's just pages on a book. But it says it's alive and it's powerful, which means if you read through it, it will begin working on the promise that God has put in your life. It will remind you just how good God is. If you read through it, it will begin to stir up the belief in you that you've been losing at this whole time. And as we talk about it, not only is it alive, there's proof in John 1. John 1:14 says this, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John, who was a disciple of Jesus, wrote this gospel. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in John, before he even shared the gospel, he talked about the word. So the word became human and made his home among us. God said, I have got to get to earth because there's a problem there. And the only way I can come to earth is in a human form. And he sent Jesus. And John is talking about this right here. He says, the Word has become human. Can I tell you how you can know that the Word is alive today? Because the grave is empty. Can I tell you that I know the promise is still working today? Because the grave is empty. And the very Word that spoke the stars into existence was the same Word that promised Abraham a child. And through Abraham's child, Isaac, more people were born. And the descendants began to grow. But through Abram, through Isaac, through Jacob, through all of those ancestors came this man named Jesus. You see, God was working even though we were still stuck in our sin and shame. God was still working even though we were running the other way. You see, some of you know God was working, his Word was alive, even though you shouldn't have been protected, God protected you. Today, guys, I just really feel in my heart as we close off Walking Blind, I didn't want to give you as much as a practical step as I wanted to get you to believe again that whatever the promise God's put in your life, that you would believe again, that we would come every single week, surrender to God and his will, surrender to what he has for us, that we would realize that as he pulls us outside, that we may have a nothing situation, but he can create something out of it, that we can truly believe that what he said and what he started, he will finish it, and that wherever we are, it's alive, it's powerful, and it separates so we can see who we are. But you have to uncover some things. I'm just going to have them come up in this song right now. And what we're going to do during this song is you're going to uncover some things that God's speaking into your heart. You're going to uncover some things to God. You're going to share your frustrations. You're going to say, God, what good are your promises if I don't even have a son? And you're going to get real with him. He can handle it. And he's going to speak to some hearts today. And when you uncover, you're going to feel a freedom you've never felt before. Because now he says, I can water that area. I can take care of that situation. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing this song. It's going to take a couple minutes, then we'll dismiss. Come on, let's leave this up. In this moment, just begin to pray out to God. Right there where you are, just get real with God. Just as Abram was.
Faith, rise up, O heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. Let faith rise up, O heart, till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still, you are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks. Peace, peace over me.
This is the moment where the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. we create time for this right here. I know some of you may need to go, but hold up. We came to encounter God anyways. There's some people in here who've been abused, verbally, physically, and maybe even sexually. And you are crying out to God saying, why would you allow that to happen to me? Why would you allow this to happen to me? And the word of the Lord for you today is you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to it. And this may have been done for your harm, but God's word said that even though you tried to harm me, I can take that harm and I can turn it into good because I finished what I started. This is the moment right here. This is your moment to uncover it. This is your moment to let God know your frustration and your hurt. And this is the moment where he can take it and he can show you that if you put your hurt into his hands, he can turn it into a masterpiece. Sean, I don't understand. You don't have to understand this. Trust him. We live in a fallen world because of our sin. People say, why did God allow it? He could have stopped it, but we have free choice. He gave us free will, and we sit in a broken world, but he still stepped down and brought his son. Lord, why did this happen to them? I just see someone right now, this weekend, you were in your bedroom, right next to your closet, and you were crying. Because you have done whatever you can. You've been trying, and you've been trying, and you've been trying. And you say, God, where are you? And I want to let you right now know that God is silent when we're taking the test. The teacher's always silent when we're taking the test, but that doesn't mean he's not present. And the presence of a storm does not mean the absence of God. He saw you where you were at, he heard your cries, and he's answering you right now. Lord, let our faith rise up. Lord, let us believe in you right now. Lord, we didn't come for religion, we came for relationship. We came to hear from you. And Lord, we will let you interrupt our schedule any moment of time so that we can hear from you. Oh, come on, if you need some healing, come up down to the front. We're going to sing this again. If you need healing, come up down to the front. If you have to go ahead and go get your kids. But if you need prayer, if you need healing, if you need some belief again in your heart, come on to the front. Thank you. Thank you. Come on to the front right now. We're going to have some people pray over you. We already got people responding. Come on, if you need some prayer, we always make time for this. Just fill up the front right now. If you have lost belief, if you have forgotten what it means to feel the presence of God, if you have forgotten, if you've gotten so busy in life, you forgot about the words of God, come on, we're going to refresh it right now during this song. Come on, let's come on down to the front.